ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Last time I inadvertently spoke out of order in the discussion of the names of Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasranam. So backtracking now to name 253, Siddhartha. I'd said when discussing the name Siddhida that the names following, they all incorporate the term Siddha or Siddhi, but actually it begins here at name 253. Siddhartha means one who has all that is desired, or one who has achieved all that is desirable. Actually, that would be in relation to others, if they had achieved something. Generally, someone tries to achieve something. And then when they achieve it, then you say, well, they're successful. But for Krishna, he doesn't achieve anything. He's always supreme, as Srila Prabhupada often pointed out. That Krishna didn't have to do anything to become God. He spoke this as an indirect comment on the rogues and cheaters who claim that by performing various yogic or other processes they have become God, or they cheat their so-called disciples by saying that, well, you can become God. Srila Prabhupada criticized this Ramana Maharshi. If you haven't heard of him, you didn't lose anything. But he's quite famous. You heard of him? Ramana Maharshi. He's in Tamil Nadu especially, he's famous as a great self-realized person of the 20th century. But Srila Prabhupada criticized that because he said that man minus desire equals God. But we see just the opposite here, that he is full of desire, but not mundane desire. If God is minus anything, then he's not God at all. He must be plus, or not actually plus, but already all opulences are within him, not that he's minus anything. So because some idiot doesn't understand that, because he understands that material desires are undesirable, but he doesn't understand that Krishna, his one name is just given Shuchi, pure. So there is pure desire, and Krishna's desires are completely pure. So he's already, this name suggests that he's already full of everything desirable, which is, there's a slight nuance of difference with the next name, Siddha Sankalpa. Whatever he desires, he gets. So these names are similar to the two terms that are often used together to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atma Rama Apta Kama. They're similar, but different. Atma Rama means who's fully satisfied in himself. And apta kama means all his desires are fulfilled. So there's slight nuance of difference there. So artha also means meaning. It means fulfilled, it means perfected. So Siddha Artha The proper siddha means complete, perfect. It also means fulfillment of a desire or of a process. Karma siddhi means perfection in karma. Jnana siddhi means perfection in jnana. Yoga siddhi means perfection in yoga. And in this way, that it means not some smaller, it means a major achievement that is usually attained after much time. So all meanings are, and perfection is the way that Srila Prabhupada often used to translate it. So Krishna is automatically, completely and perfectly fulfilled. He is the actual meaning of everything. The underlying meaning of everything. All meanings in this world, they all culminate in meaninglessness, which suggests that all philosophies also culminate in meaninglessness. Siddhanta is a term which means the end of, or the conclusion, philosophical conclusion. But all siddhantas that do not conclude in siddhanta, that's another name of Krishna, is siddhanta. If they don't conclude in Krishna, then they're not actually the conclusion. Still you have further to go. Or it may be the conclusion of your philosophy, but you've come to a dead end. You've got on the wrong path and you're at the dead end. And actually any material conclusion, it's not conclusive, because someone will come along and challenge that also. Tarka apratishta. By the tarka means tarka, apratishta means that simply by discussion and mental lucubrations, gymnastics, that one cannot reach any proper conclusion. But the proper conclusion is complete and perfect in Krishna as Krishna. He is the very meaning of siddhi. He is the perfect siddha. As Narayan Rishi, he performs austerities, but it's not that he has anything to achieve as everyone else who does austerities. He simply is demonstrating to others the path of austerity, but he's already full and complete, as was demonstrated when Indra, being afraid of the severe austerities of Narayan Rishi, thought, well, time to send the Apsaras again. whenever there's a powerful Rishi, it's time to send in the Apsaras to break his austerities. So the Apsaras went along with Kamadev, who inspires desire, who is the very personification of material desire. So Narayan Rishi opened it, he heard all the sound of dancing and tinkling of ankle bells, and opened his eyes and saw all these nice, beautiful girls. And he said to Indra that, oh, beautiful girl, very nice. You like beautiful girls? Here, I'll give you some. And he manifested from himself girls much more beautiful than those that Kamadev could produce. So already, he demonstrated that already he's full and perfect and complete within himself. He's not performing austerities to become free from material desire, because he never has any material desire. He's not gone away to get away from the attraction of beautiful women, because all beautiful women are manifested from him. So he's full and complete in himself. This name, actually, the followers of those who consider that Vishnu is the ultimate form of Godhead, they won't like to hear this, but Actually, this name better refers to Krishna than to Vishnu. Because Narayan himself, he desires Krishna. He himself is fascinated by the pastimes of Krishna. Even Krishna himself is fascinated by the pastimes of Krishna. Maybe Krishna himself, there, where is the end? This name we can say in one sense, it's only conventional, because Krishna, he has no material desire, but he has unlimited spiritual desire. As Srila Prabhupada once said, Krishna is the most lusty person. When he commented that if someone says that Krishna is very lusty for having 16,108 wives, and Srila Prabhupada said, well, you have to admit, he's the supreme lusty. You can't be as lusty as that. Even if you judge it with your own constricted understanding, still you cannot but admit that Krishna is superior to you. And if you, the materialist, he judges material lust to be the acme of existence, desire. Kimanyat kama haitukam. What is the cause of being but lust? That's all there is. So that's why they're envious of Krishna, because Krishna, he's the most lusty. But we should all, those who are devotees, they can understand that that's not material lust, because that's also described in the Bhagavatam, that the queens of Dwaraka, they would attempt to excite Krishna's lust, but they couldn't, because he was completely satisfied. Etadishanamishasya prakriti stopi tadgunai nayujyate sadatmas thayata buddhistadashraya. And that description of the queens of Dwaraka, how they would attempt to tempt Krishna, and they were unsuccessful in inciting lust within him. That description ends with the statement that the very godness of God is that he, even though he appears within the material nature, he's always transcendental to it, as are those who take shelter of him. So the queens also, it's not that they are mundane. So Krishna has unlimited desire. And he's so desirable that he desires himself. Krishna is all attractive. He attracts everyone, including Krishna. Difficult to understand? I don't understand it either. I'm just saying it, that's all. Krishna himself doesn't understand it. So what to speak of us? That's why Krishna, he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he can't understand, what's this about me? I'm so attractive. You know, why are all these devotees, they sacrifice everything for me? Why do they do that? What's so wonderful? Must be something really wonderful about me. Okay, well, I better become Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. I'd better become, better take on the mood and bodily luster of Radha as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to understand that. So if you try to understand all these things, you'll just go mad. That's what happened with Krishna. He became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then he became mad. So, if anyone asks you, what's the ultimate purpose of Krishna consciousness? To become mad. That's all. In this material world, everyone is insane. But that's not a very relishable form of insanity. So, it's just going from one insanity to another. And the same position is in Vaikuntha. That is sanity. And above Vaikuntha, it's all madness. And below, it's all madness. So Krishna, only he can be siddha in the full sense. Siddha means perfected or perfect. Because he is constitutionally full and complete. And anyone else who tries to be siddha or to achieve anything, to be the world boxing champion or the world tiddlywink champion. You know how to translate tiddlywink into Polish? No, I don't either. I didn't attain that siddhi yet. I better not desire it, otherwise I get born in Poland in my next life and my first word will be tiddlywink in Polish. So, you may desire that. But it is not the constitutional position of the jiva to be full and complete and perfect. It is the constitutional position of Krishna. So he is constitutionally Siddhartha. And although a human may be called that, I mean, it's quite a common name in India, right? Siddhartha is quite a common name. What do people think of that? Well, they think of Buddha when they think of him. Hmm? Yeah, it's famous. They give that name, but actually it's the name of Vishnu. So, human being may be considered that. Someone who is Siddha. Sometimes someone is called a Siddha Yogi. Sometimes it's spoken about devotees also. Sometimes you've heard Siddha Jagannath Das Babaji. Sometimes some Babajis, they're called Siddha. Siddha Bhagavan Das Babaji, whatever. Because it's considered that they achieved that for which they performed sadhana. They achieved Krishna Prema. But in the fullest sense, Krishna is Siddha, because that is his constitutional position. And any other siddhi for the jiva except prem is actually unconstitutional. So if you say yoga siddha, yeah, okay, but it's only temporary because it's not the constitution. If one has achieved perfection in yoga, but by which he can fly in the sky without an airplane, there's the siddha loka planet where everyone is a siddha. And they can fly around here and there. But that is temporary, except Narad Muni. He's sometimes said to be a Siddha. He can go here and there, transcendental spaceman. But that's his constitutional Siddhi, which is bestowed upon him by Krishna. And Krishna may give all kinds of Siddhis to his devotees to help them to partake better in his pastimes, or as a gift to them, just like Krishna, he gave to Arjuna. He gave the divine eyes to Arjuna by which Arjuna could see the universal form of Krishna. He straightened out Kubja. I don't think there's any medical technique even now for hunchbacks to straighten them out. But Trivakra, Krishna just put his foot on her feet and got a hold of her shoulders and jerked her up. So Krishna, he awards all kinds of whatever is needed to his devotee to, so that they can perform their service. That's Siddhida, all these names, they overlap. But he is himself Siddhartha. He is the very meaning of perfection. He is full and complete and perfect, and all perfections are within him. So the next name, Siddha Sankalpa. This means one whose desires are always fulfilled. He has his Ichha Shakti, Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The Shvetashvatara Upanishad, the White Mule Upanishad, states that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has many variegated energies which are variously heard about. And in this verse it said, Swabhaviki, they're natural, they're inherent in him. So some of them are mentioned, Jnana Shakti, Bala Shakti, Kriya Shakti. His pastime, his energies of cognition, understanding, Jnana, his energy of strength, and his energy of implementation, getting things done. So there are many others also, among which Ichha Shakti is very famous. Whatever he desires is done. There are so many. Prahvi, Yoga, Nila, Ila, Bhushakti. These are all some. Udkarshani. There are nine main Shaktis. So Ichha Shakti means whatever he desires is done. Your wish is my command. The famous line from the genie stories. You don't know, I guess. But you heard that? From the genie stories. Your wish is my command. Your command, what is it? Yeah. Tladini Shakti. Yeah. Well, there's Samvit, Sandhini, and Tladini. They're the three main Shaktis from which the others expand. Genie means jinn. In Hindi, it's jinn. Is it? And then you get the English word Aladdin, who rubs the lamp. All right. Jo hukum mere aka. Jo, what is your order? That is my. I have to do it. I have to follow it. So, whatever he desires is done. It's as good as done. If he desires it, it's as good as done. Sankalpa, this word is used that when one undertakes a vow, he makes a sankalpa. Just like Ekadashi. If one is following Ekadashi, one takes a vow on the day prior to that to follow. And to follow Ekadashi traditionally doesn't mean just not to eat chapatis and rice, but it's then you have to observe without any food, without any water, staying awake at night, not eating from midday on the day before anything, and even the day before you have to take a very light and unattractive foods. Unattractive means no ghee, spices or any such thing. So, one takes, or if one is to perform chaturmasya, makes a sankalpa, a vow, sacred vow. Going out, the kshatriya is going out to fight, they'll make a sankalpa. We'll either win the battle or die. There are no two choices. There's no choice beyond that. You don't come back defeated. So, persons make sankalpas, they attempt something, they attempt to attain a siddhi, to make some achievement, but they're not always successful. There may be some factors which cause one to break that, but Krishna is siddha sankalpa. Whatever he desires will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The Lord Jesus taught to pray, let his will be done. In this material world, people have the choice to follow his will or not to. But if he doesn't interfere with the jiva's minute independence. But if he decides to do something, it is done. Therefore, he can say, yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam dharmasam sthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He can say with full confidence that he comes in every age to, whenever there is a decline in dharma, he comes to restore that and to destroy the unrighteous and to uplift the devotees. So he can say that. You may say, well, what if one time he's unsuccessful? What if one time he comes and Putana actually kills him? What would happen? How can he be so sure? Generally, a warrior, he should speak confidently, but he should be careful also. He should go out, yes, we're going to win. The general, the commander-in-chief, he tells his troops, okay, let's go out there and win, but he knows you have to be careful also. If this overconfidence leads to defeat, it's a common syndrome that, for instance, criminals, they steal once, they're very careful, and they get away with it. Then another time, they do a burglary, and they're very careful, and they get away with it. Another time, they're very careful not to leave any evidence or anything. So three times they got away, and then they thought, wow, this is easy. And next time, they're not very careful, and they get caught, because they become overconfident. So what would happen if Krishna is defeated? Well, there's no question, because that's another of his names. Ajit, he's undefeated. Ajaya, undefeatable. Whatever he decides to do will be done. And however much that you may protest, can't do anything about it, because he's constitutionally supreme and we're constitutionally subordinate. This idea of equality of all beings, which is so much in the modern age, there's so much propaganda, equality. This communism was hated in the Western world. Well, not everyone, there are many communists also, but not in America. Yeah, to be a communist was very dangerous, but in other countries, in France, Italy, they had strong communist parties. So, in democracy also, the idea is that everyone is equal, but it's not true. They'll bring Krishna and you say, Krishna will come and say, only one vote. You have one vote like everyone else. But for Krishna, there's no question. If there's any kshatriya, if there's any actual kshatriya, he'll never tolerate democracy. He'll just take charge, that's all. And anyone who resists, he'll kill them or punish them. Democracy can only exist where there's vaishyas and shudras. If there are any kshatriyas, they won't agree. And if there are any brahmanas, they won't stay in such a ridiculous place. Of course, in the modern world, the whole world, a brahmana, he should live in a place where there's a dharmic king, but there's no dharmic king. So we all have to live in this horrible situation where everyone is supposed to be equal, but everyone's not equal. Krishna is supreme. So whatever he wants, that is done. Now, we may say that, well, sometimes we see that Krishna, he himself was not successful, or he fled from Jarasandha. But that wasn't due to inability. He had already defeated him 17 times. But he had some other purpose to fulfill for his pastimes. So he didn't go out to fight Jarasandha and then run away, but he just simply avoided him, that's all. Or, another example is Krishna. He took the vow that he will not raise any weapon in the battle of Kurukshetra. But when Bhishma was goaded by Duryodhana that you're not fighting properly because you have so much affection for the Pandavas, you're not exerting yourself to the full extent, then Bhishma, in typical Kshatriya pride, said that tomorrow I will fight in such a way, I will attack Arjuna in such a way that either he will be killed or Krishna will have to defend him. Knowing very well, Bhishma knew very well that Krishna had said that he won't take up any weapon. He won't take a military role or a military role. Yeah, he won't take a he won't take up arms. I just can't remember. So he would only take a supporting role. So he took the role of the chariot driver Arjuna. So Krishna, he had taken the vow not to raise any weapon in the battle. But that was his vow for the battle. But that's just a temporary one. But his permanent vow is Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati, as he told Arjuna to announce that my devotee will never be destroyed. So, in this situation, Arjuna was about to be destroyed, killed by Bhishma. So, Krishna had to break one of his vows. He was put on the spot by Bhishma. So, Krishna, he took up a weapon. Not exactly a weapon, some broken chariot wheel. Ratangapani, his name becomes famous as Ratangapani, one who took up part, the wheel from the chariot to attack Bhishma. Then Bhishma thought, okay, that's my job done. I said I'd either fight in such a way that Arjuna would be killed or Krishna would have to defend him. Oh, then he saw Krishna coming. All right, very nice. Now I've broken Krishna's promise. He took great pleasure in breaking Krishna's promise. So, who can understand all these things? Bhishma, he can understand. So, Krishna, by breaking his promise, he exhibited to the world that he never breaks his promise. He broke the minor promise to not raise a weapon to fulfill his major promise that his devotee will never be destroyed. That even he may be blamed for picking up a weapon and breaking his word, but he will take that blame rather than his devotee be not protected by him. So in this way, Krishna showed his truthfulness. That's another quality of Krishna. You see, all these qualities, in discussing them, they overlap. Because all of them are inherent in Krishna. You can't separate one from... You can't have 999 qualities and take one out. They're all inextricable. They're all, it makes one, what's that German word? Gestalt. Everything is all together. It's just like if you have some steel. Steel is iron. There's some carbon mixed, but you can't see the carbon. It's all, or an alloy of of brass. It's all mixed, but you can't, it's inextricable. You can't, I mean, you could do by certain chemical process. You could slowly melt it and then then separate. But as it exists, you can't separate. They're all blended together completely. So, in this world, we have the imaginary Superman who can do what he likes, but it's just an imagination. It's popular. Superman. Superman must be almost 80 years old now. When was Superman invented? Anyone know? You didn't learn that in your general knowledge at school? In India, they teach all kinds of super ridiculous things, which you have to know. They didn't teach that when you were. They didn't bring in all that education at that time. They have general knowledge. When was Superman invented? Nowadays in the schools in India, the kids have to watch TV because they're asked questions in school. What was on TV last night? And then they ask questions. What happened in this what happened in this cricket match? And this, just to train them to watch the TV in any way they're watching it. Oh, one chapter in the books is Rajnikant. Well, I mean, if you're going to have mundane education, then Rajnikant is a famous actor in the Tamil movies. So that's considered important. Just see. They don't know Ramanuja. Rascals. Simply rascals. So, Superman or the Invincible Man, Batman, Spider-Man. Then they had Arnold. Anyone? Schwarzenegger. Is that how you say it? Okay. So, he's an old man now. Probably some young kid can come up and flick his nose and he can't do anything about it. Well, he's not so old. How old would he be? 50 something? Is it? Yeah. But anyway, he's a declining Superman. And one day he'll be in a box. Happens to them all, but that doesn't happen to Krishna. So this desire to imitate Krishna, or even imagine someone who's some imaginary Superman, Spider-Man, Batman. There's so many TV shows of wealth, of people who do good for the world and do great things. All useless. They're all useless, imitation, rascals. So back to the name, Nyai. And so he is the law. He can break the law. He is the law. Generally, he follows the law to teach others to follow it. That's said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apanena koile dharma shikan na jai. Unless one follows the law, dharma, then he can't teach it to others. But because he's the Supreme Lord, he can break it also. So he breaks it by the laws of nature. He makes stones float as Ramachandra. He dances with others' wives. Of course, if we go a little deeper, we can understand that they're not others' wives, that everyone is Krishna's wife. Not anyone who thinks that this is my wife, that person is immoral, not Krishna. So Krishna, he says, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananya bhag sadhu. Anyone who worships me wholeheartedly, even if he performs extremely bad activities, such a person is a sadhu, a saintly person. How can that be? Someone does bad things, but he's still a saintly person because Krishna says so. Someone breaks the law, Krishna can't exonerate them. That's Krishna's prerogative. Krishna eats with his left hand. You're not supposed to do that. As Brahma, he couldn't work it out. How is this? I thought that I was born from Narayana. He's the Supreme Lord. He is Dharma. Another name of him is Dharma. So what is this eating with this little child running barefoot with cows and playing with the children? What is this? And he's eating with his... That was a clincher. That he's eating with his left hand. He can't be God. But by doing so, Krishna demonstrated that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he can do whatever he likes. Now someone else may say, well, I can do whatever I like. I can eat with my left hand also. But that doesn't make you God. You're just a nonsense, that's all. But when Krishna does so, he is worshipable. Makes him more so. As those who claim Narayan is the Supreme Form of Godhead, they don't understand Krishna. That Narayana, by being the very personality of Dharma, establishes his Godhead. And Krishna, more so, by doing whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants, in whatever manner he wants, he establishes his Godhead. He is the law. He can break the law also, as he likes. He's completely independent. He's even independent of his own laws. If he wasn't, then he would. Then, if he's under the law, then he's not fit to give the law. He may generally follow it for the sake of giving the example to others, but he's not under it. He's completely free to do as he likes always. Hare Krishna. All right, that's what I said today. So, any question about this? Good. I didn't ask any questions because I probably wouldn't have been able to answer them anyway. Hare Krishna. How can you answer questions about this? It's inconceivable. Krishna is inconceivable. We can simply hear about him, discuss him, bow down our head to him, and marvel at how wonderful is Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gaurinitai ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Govinda ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.